Good morning and welcome to the First Presbyterian Church on this beautiful Lord's Day. Just a few announcements before we begin worship today. We do have a new church member I need to introduce. He is joined by a transfer of letter from the New Covenant Presbyterian Church in Natchez, Mississippi, and that's Mr. Mr. Burnley Cook. So please greet him after the worship service and extend him the virtual handshakes and hugs that we are all getting accustomed to. Also, please remember that we will be having a Bible study this week in the annex. We'll be upstairs in the adult Sunday school classroom, 7 p.m. on Wednesday. Everybody's welcome to come. Or you can tune in on Facebook live stream. And I'll be sending out a lesson plan, I hope, later this afternoon, maybe tomorrow. And if you'd like to participate via Zoom, let me know. And gifts may be sent either through our church website using credit card or mail to Post Office Box 517 in Port Gibson. And let's now be called to worship. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let's worship our God as we stand and sing his praise. Let us pray. Our Lord, we know that you are always faithful to your covenant promises. We know that you love all your people, those who trust Jesus as Savior and bow the knee to him as Lord. We even know that you loved a world full of sinners like us to give up your Son to die so that we might be saved. And so we ask that you would convince us anew of your love today. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we might trust you not just to save us, but to protect us and to provide for us even now and also in the life to come. For we come in the name of the one who went to the cross that we might have eternal life, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. And if you would, take up your order of service. I certainly hope I printed enough. On the back of the order of service, you have two readings from the prophecy of Daniel. And you'll notice that the first one comes from Daniel chapter 2, and that's Daniel himself meditating on God's power and might. And then the second reading comes from Daniel chapter 4, where Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, makes similar comments. And so I will read the light-faced print and encourage you to respond with bold. Let's read these portions of God's word responsively. Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. Nebuchadnezzar the king, unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show the wonders, the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. How great are his signs, and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? Amen. We serve an almighty king. And so let's celebrate that fact as we take up our hymnals. We'll turn to selection 4, Come Thou Almighty King. We'll sing all 4 stanzas. You can also find the words in your online order of service. So let us stand to sing. We have sung the praise of our triune God. Let us say what we believe about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit using the words of the Apostles' Creed. They're found inside the front cover of your hymnal or in your online order of service. Christian, what do you believe?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
We're
Amen. You may be seated. We have plenty of children today, so I thought I would do a time for the children. Now, we're not asking y'all to come forward, but I do have a question for those who are shorter than me. And the question is simply this. Are you worried about whether you'll have lunch this afternoon? No. You know exactly where you're going to have lunch, right? You know your mom and dad and your grandparents are going to take care of all that, right? Are you worried about if you're going to have a place to sleep tonight? No. That would be silly, wouldn't it? You know exactly where you're going to stay tonight. And you know you're going to have fun with all of your cousins. And you don't worry about these things because you know your mama and your dad and your grandparents are going to take care of you, right? Right. So you don't have any need to worry. And the same thing is true for all of us with everything. We can all be sure that our Heavenly Father is going to take care of us and give us what we need, so we don't need to worry either. So I hope y'all remember that when you say your prayer before your lunch today, to thank God not only for the lunch, but that you don't have any reason to worry that you will have what you need. And now also, I'm going to cheat. I'm going to have a minute for mission as well. This is a thank you note that we got from Reverend Hector Reynoso. Some of you all may remember that Hector is the pastor of the Genesis Presbyterian Church in Mercedes, Texas, which is way down on the Rio Grande River in Texas. And the church has gone through a lot. When they came into the EPC, they had to give up their building and they had to give up all the money in their bank accounts. And so we've tried to help them to raise funds for a new church building. They also had to deal with Hurricane Hannah this year, as well as the COVID crisis. But Hector writes a note of thank you to our congregation and all those who helped to raise the funds for their church. And he says, "Dear brothers and sisters in Christ at First Presbyterian Church in Port Gibson, may our Heavenly Father continue to bless your pastor, your congregation, and your session in every area of your lives. As we continue to work for the expansion of the kingdom of Christ and the edification of his saints here in Mercedes, Texas, God has done it again, and through his people made the impossible possible. We have met and exceeded our fundraising goal of $455,000. To God's glory, this is where we stand today, $459,733.32. This now allows us to put into motion all that is necessary for pre-construction, trusting in him that he will help us complete what he has led us to begin. Thank you so much for your loving donation and continued prayer for us. May the favor of the Lord our God rest on us, establish the work of our hands for us." Yes, establish the work of our hands, Psalm 90, verse 17. "Working together for his kingdom and with love in Christ Jesus, Genesis Presbyterian Church." So I thank God for all of you who helped to make that possible in Mercedes, Texas. God is so great to give us so many reasons for thanks, to give him thanks and praise. Let's remember that as we take up our hymnals now, as we prepare for a time of prayer. We have lots of reasons to give God thanks and praise. And this hymn, hymn number 55, "For the Beauty of the Earth," summarizes some of those reasons, drawing from the beauty of nature to the beauty of family and all of the things that God gives us. So let's prepare our hearts for prayers. We stand and sing all five stanzas of hymn 55. be seated. As is so often the case with our prayer time, we have begun our prayer time with our song. That was a beautiful prayer of thanksgiving. And we do have many, many reasons to give God thanks and praise. So with that spirit in mind, let us pray. Our Lord and our God, we do give you thanks and we give you praise. We thank you and praise you for who you are, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for drawing all who trust in you into your family of faith. We thank you for the blessing of eternal life that you have given to all who trust in Christ and bow the knee to him as Lord. We thank you, O Lord, for all the blessings that you have given to us in this beautiful creation. We thank you, O Lord, for the gift of music and song. We thank you for the gift of human love, brother, sister, parent, child. Lord, we thank you for the friends that we have. We thank you for the joy that you place into our lives. For each perfect gift of yours, we give you thanks and praise. Lord, help us to continue to be thankful, even when we have many reasons in our lives to be worried or to be fearful. Help us, Lord, to hold on to our faith in you, looking to all of your blessings as evidences of your love and your grace. And Lord, we do pray that as we have concerns, that we would lift them to you in prayer, that we would not worry, but that we would pray. Father, we thank you for our brothers and sisters at Genesis Presbyterian Church in Mercedes, Texas. Lord, we thank you for providing for them, for their new sanctuary that they're going to be able to build now. Lord, we ask that you would use this building that they're going to build as a platform for ministry in their community, as they hope to do. Lord, we pray for your blessings upon the rest of our presbytery. We lift up special prayers for our church planters and for the groups they're working with. Lord, we ask your blessings upon Haven Church in Katy, Texas, and Nathan Cotton, who is working with them. We pray for Quest Church in New Braunfels, Texas, and for Brett and Corinne Becker working with them. For All Souls Church in Austin, Texas, and Christian and Marilyn Kreider. Lord, we pray for the Church of the Resurrection in New Orleans, Louisiana, and for Ben and Jenny Cunningham working with that church. And we pray for the Faith Vietnamese Church in Sugar Land, Texas, Daniel and Danielle Nguyen working with them. Lord, bless these church planters, bless these congregations as they gather, whether virtually or in person. Lord, that you would draw many unto yourself through these new congregations. Lord, we pray for your blessing to be upon our friends in Brazil that we have worked with for so many years. We pray for Alberto and Erica in Caicau, and Cruzeta, and Salmameji. Lord, we pray for Pastor Max in Patos. We pray for the congregation at First Pres in Natal, for Second Pres in Natal, and Pastor Hubens, and Pastor Diego, for Third Pres in Natal, and Pastor Hubens. We pray for Bruno and and Livia in the Mosaic Church in Pombal, and Junior and the Esperanza Church plant. Lord, for our seminarians that we are helping to put through school, we pray for Jose in Parnamirim, for Josivan and Franceline as they work at the Station 316 church plant, for Lucia and Lindoison as they work in Cabedelu, and for Gladeson and Giuliane as they work at the IPI in Veracruz. Lord, bless them. Bless these dear brothers and sisters in Christ as they seek to spread the gospel in Northeast Brazil. Lord, you have blessed us by enabling us to work in so many ways and to partner with so many people. We ask that you would continue to pour out your blessings upon us, that we might be a blessing to others. And in this time of great fearfulness in our world, in this time of plague, in this time of political uncertainty and division. Lord, we ask that you would teach us not to worry. And to that end, we pray that you would help us to learn what Jesus has to say to us in our message today from Matthew's gospel. Help us, Lord, to listen and to learn. For we pray this in the name of Christ and for his sake. Amen. And that is our passage today. We come to Matthew chapter 6, the last few verses of the chapter, beginning with verse 25. And if there was ever a time when we needed to hear this passage and really let it sink in, I honestly don't know when a time would be more appropriate than this. For Jesus is going to tell us that we don't need to worry. Matthew chapter 6, the verses 25 through 34. This is the word of God for the people of God today. Jesus said, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor for your body what ye shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." That is God's word for God's people. May he add his blessing to us and teach us not to worry. Worry. I wonder if people read the National Enquirer just so they have something to worry about. What if the earth were to be stricken by a giant asteroid? What if we were to be invaded by space aliens? What if the Illuminati have an international headquarters in a bunker underneath the Denver airport? And what if that's the real reason so much luggage goes missing there? Of course, we have some other worries that are a little bit more realistic. What if the nuclear plant has a meltdown? What if the stock market collapses? What if a tornado comes and destroys my house or my barn? Such worries are within the realm of possibility, and they may cross our mind on occasion, but we don't tend to dwell on things like that. They're just not that likely to happen. And then there are those other more realistic worries, things that haven't happened to us yet, but they might someday. You might lose your job. Your spouse may be healthy today, but he or she might get sick or injured tomorrow. Your kids or your grandkids may be very well behaved and attentive today, but what if they were to fall into bad company? What if they were to get involved with drugs? Terrible, devastating scenarios, and they're possible, but if they haven't happened yet, we can dismiss them from our minds. They might not happen at all. We can follow Miss Scarlett's excellent advice. I won't think about that today. I'll think about that tomorrow. Not a bad slogan. But what about those worries that go to bed with you, those worries that wake up with you, those worries that are not based on some hypothetical future, but worries that grow out of your present experience? You worry about a boss you don't get along with. You worry about how much your kids are learning while they're going to school online. You look at all the things you have to do and you worry that you cannot get them all done. You look at your monthly bills and you really don't see how they're all going to be paid on time. Or you worry if you'll have the strength or the endurance to go on taking care of your ailing loved ones. You worry about your friends who are sick or in the hospital today. You worry about the progress of a disease you may have, or perhaps the COVID numbers that seem to be going up again. And these are not problems that can be dismissed lightly with Miss Scarlet's fiddle-dee-dee. What do we do about those kinds of problems, the problems that are impossible to ignore? What do we do when we find ourselves worrying about those kinds of things? Well, what did Jesus tell us in today's passage? He asks a very good question. Which one of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? In modern language, it might mean, which of you can make yourself taller by worrying about it? Answer, no one. And that question really puts worry into perspective, doesn't it? For can worry really help anything? Can just dwelling on problems that we face solve any of them? Oh, sure, as we worry, our mental gears may be turning, but worry is just as effective as the wheels of a truck turning when they're stuck in the sand. I will not get any taller because I worry. My life will not get any longer because I worry. In fact, none of my pressing problems will be solved because I worry about them. In fact, worry can actually make our problems worse. For when we work ourselves up into a lather about any given situation, our fear can keep us from thinking clearly about it. Our worry can actually prevent us from coming up with a solution. And all the medical people tell us that worry actually shortens our lives because stress from worry eats us up. No. As Jesus tells us in today's passage, worry does no one any real good. So, we should not worry because worry is worthless. Say that three times fast. Worry is worthless. But Jesus goes on to tell us that we should also not worry because worry is needless. Worry is needless. We should not worry because of the way God loves us and because of the way of God provides for us. Look around you, Jesus says. Look around you at the birds. They don't sow seeds. They don't reap a harvest. They don't gather it into barns, but God takes care of them. Look around at the beautiful wildflowers, Jesus says. They don't pick cotton. They don't spin thread. They don't weave it into cloth. But God dresses them in the most beautiful of fabrics. And, as a good rabbi would do in those days, Jesus argues from the lesser to the greater. He argues from a small thing to a large thing. If God takes care of the birds, if God takes care of the grass, how much more will God take care of his people, those who are made in his own image, those for whom he has shed his own blood? So, in the face of our loving and powerful God's ability to provide for all of our needs, does it really make sense to worry? Worry is worthless. Worry is needless. So stop worrying. Go and sin no more. Preacher, is that all there is? Well, I don't know about you, but as someone who really ought to be a member of Worry Warts Anonymous, I need a little stronger medicine than that myself. I mean, I know I need to stop worrying. I do. But the question is, in the face of all those very real and very pressing problems, how do I stop worrying? I know I need to do it. How do I do it? Well, Jesus is actually going to give us 2 points that help us with this, I hope. He says we need to seek 2 things. And the things that we seek will help us to realize that worry is worthless and worry is needless. And the first thing he tells us to seek is to seek God's kingdom. Seek God's kingdom. And having a kingdom perspective does indeed strike at the heart of most of the things that we worry about. And that's because, at the end of the day, most of our worries are about things over which we have no control. Right? We cannot control the reactions that other people have to us. We cannot control the number of responsibilities that are piled on our plate. We cannot control the progress of disease. We cannot control the outcome of elections. We can't control any of these things. But God can. God can. For God not only provides the food for the birds and the flowers for the plants, God controls every circumstance of human life. God is the mighty king. God is the one who rules over every part of his universal kingdom all the time. That's what the prophet Daniel said in chapter 2. And even King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon realized and admitted that awesome truth. This is what Nebuchadnezzar said. He said, God's dominion is an everlasting dominion. He said, God's kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are counted as nothing compared to God. God does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And no one can restrain his hand. And no one can say to him, what have you done? The kingdom of God. And so as long as we try to be the king, as long as we try to control the circumstances of our lives, of course we're going to worry about it. Because there's no way we can do anything about most of our biggest problems, no matter how hard we try. But if we seek the kingdom of God, if we acknowledge God's sovereign control over everything that happens to us, over everything that happens to our loved ones, then we're on the road to getting a handle on the worst of our worries. For we can take comfort that the Lord and Master of everyone and everything throughout space and time, he really is able to handle the source of our greatest fears. He is able to handle whatever it is that we're worried about. So seek the kingdom of God. We all need to seek the kingdom of God. We need to take our worries and our problems to him in prayer. And when we're tempted to worry about something, we need to remember that God is in charge of that problem, not us. God is the God of whatever it is that's worrying you. And you know, I've found it very easy to put that kind of understanding into practice simply by naming my worries to God in prayer. Naming worries. When I worry, for example, when I worry about whether I'm going to be able to get everything done, it helps me to pray, God, you are the God of time. You are the God of my schedule. Or, if I look at the rising COVID numbers, it helps me to pray, God, you are the God of viruses. And whatever the source of your worry may be, God is the God of that too. Acknowledge that in prayer. Seek God's kingdom. No, none of us will ever be in control of all those things we worry about. That's true. But it's also true that God is in charge of everyone and everything that we worry about. And we can live with less worry if we'll remember that. If we'll seek his kingdom, if we'll remember that he rules and he reigns even over the worst of our worries. Seek God's kingdom. But Jesus also tells us, as we approach the question of worry, Jesus also tells us to seek God's righteousness. Seek God's righteousness. Now, when we hear that, we might just get back on that worry train again, right? Righteousness? Wait a minute, Jesus. You want me to stop worrying? Why are you bringing up righteousness? I mean, which of us always lives in righteous ways? Which of us always lines up our thoughts and our words and our deeds with God's perfect will? No. If we're truly honest with ourselves, we're going to admit we don't deserve God's love. We don't deserve God's mercy. We don't deserve God to help us with all of our worries. No, if we've got to be righteous before we can stop worrying, well, we're all in big trouble. For isn't it true that many of our worries flow out of our sins? I mean, think about it. Let's say you told a lie. Well, don't you worry about being caught in it? Or you tell another lie to cover up the first lie, and then you worry about being caught in the second lie and the first lie. Or what if you were to say something bad about someone else? Don't you worry that person might find out that you said it? Whatever secret, whatever shameful habits we have, don't we worry that somebody will find out? So we hide and we worry. Or don't we also sometimes worry about our sins of omission, things we've left undone? Maybe we worry that we aren't doing enough to satisfy God. We're not doing enough to earn God's favor. Or perhaps we live with a vague sort of anxiety that we're just not doing enough good things to help all the needy people around us. But, you know, you can also worry by remembering that worry is in itself sinful. Because whenever we're anxious, aren't we demonstrating a lack of trust in God to protect us and to provide for us? So if worry is a sin and we worry about our sins, then we're worrying about our worries. And how can we say we're seeking God's kingdom? How can we bow the knee before the throne of grace if we're not trusting God enough to stop worrying? How can we do that? Because remember, God's law makes not only behavioral demands on us, God's law demands purity of thought, purity of emotion. God's law demands that we love Him with all our heart and all our soul and all our strength and all our mind. God's love thus demands that we trust God and stop worrying, but who can possibly do that? Hear the good news. Jesus says we are to seek God's righteousness, not ours. That's important enough to repeat. Jesus says we are to seek God's righteousness, not ours. And if it is impossible for us to become perfectly trusting and perfectly worry-free through our own efforts, the good news is that God's righteousness is only a prayer away. Now, that may sound too good to be true, but it is true. The good news is that Jesus offers His righteousness. Jesus offers His own perfect obedience, His own spotless, sinless perfection to all who will trust in Him. And so, if by faith we are clothed in the righteousness of Christ, God no longer sees our sin. God no longer sees our fear. God no longer sees our anxiety. God no longer sees our worry when He looks at us. Instead, God sees the perfection of His faithful, trusting Son, the one who went to the cross in obedience to His Father, the one who died to show His love for worry warts like us. And that is the righteousness we need. And that is the righteousness we must have if we're to live in accordance with God's will. And that is the righteousness we need if we are to finally overcome worry. For when the Father credits the righteousness of the Son to our account, how can we worry? And when the Father credits the righteousness of the Son to our account, He gives us new life along with it. As we trust in Jesus as Savior, He makes us new from the inside out. He gives us the ability to trust Him, not only with our salvation, but also with all those difficult circumstances of our lives today. As we trust Christ more and more in every way, we will worry less and less about everything. But here's the best part. If we seek Jesus' kingdom, if we seek Jesus' righteousness, God does more than promise that he will take our worries away. He says that all the things we need, our food, our clothing, will be given to us. That means we will not simply stop worrying about those kinds of things when we seek God's kingdom and God's righteousness. God promises to take care of those worries according to his riches and glory. Now, this does not mean that everything we worry about will turn out the way we want it to. It's much better than that. It means that everything we worry about will turn out the way God wants it to. And if he is our king, and he is our savior, if we're seeking his kingdom and his righteousness, that means that everything's going to turn out for the best, for the glory of God, and for our good as well. So, how do we stop worrying? Well, we'll stop worrying when we stop needing to worry. And if we trust Jesus to be both our Savior and our Lord, we will have no need to worry. So let's seek his kingdom. Let's trust our King to be in control of all our worries. Let's seek his righteousness. Let's trust our Savior to give us his righteousness in spite of our worries. And let's trust our Master to provide everything we need in the face of our worries. And then we will be able to do what Scarlett said she was going to do and what Jesus told us all to do, and that is to take no thought for the morrow, because we can be sure that God is taking care of us. Let's celebrate that wonderful truth that God will take care of us. As we take up our hymnals, we'll turn to selection 421. 421. Be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you. We'll sing all four stanzas, and let us stand to sing.
Oh.
God will take care of you. That's what we've heard Jesus tell us. That's what we've heard our friends sing around us 16 times. May that not just be our song, may that be our belief this week, that God is God and He is good. And now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.